Blog Talk Radio.
Reality show, and our topic is mental health part two, and we're going to talk about the Mazumas today. Okay, we've talked a little bit about us, and I had a guest, and I thought about what she said. She was a young woman, and I thought about the way young people think nowadays, and it really made sense. But we think it's us because we've been told that it's us with the mental health issues, right? We've been told that. So now let's talk about, let me show you a picture. Let me start there. I want to show you a picture because I want to help you to understand that it's not always us, okay? And if you've seen this picture, this might help you to understand why we do what we do, okay? Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. Give me 2 seconds. I had the picture up, but, of course, you know how what happens. It goes off. Blog Talk, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let me give you the number if you want to contact me on Blog Talk, and it's 563-999-3682 on Blog Talk if you want to join me. Come on, join me. Don't be shy. I want to show you a picture. And this picture is going to, and I want you to think about, if you saw this every day, and you saw it quite often, you think they show us pictures of us, the murdering of black people? They tend to do that a lot. They tend to want to display the shootings, okay, but when they get shot, they don't show it, right? I'm going to show you this, and to look at this picture, what would you think if you saw this, okay, all the time? You had children. What do we see there? What do we see? Who do we see standing there? Who do we see? We see their babies, right? Okay. Can you imagine looking at this young man that's hanging? And what are the children doing? Are they covering their eyes? No. What are they doing? They looking, right? Okay. Let me show you another one. Okay. I'm going to show you something. to me, I think is very disgusting. Because, and I'm going to tell you why I think it's very disgusting. Do you believe that you can pass down mental illness? And if you saw that picture, what would you say? How would that make you feel? If you saw that picture, how would that make you feel? How would that make you feel? Okay. And if you showed that picture to your, and your children saw that picture, what do you think? What do you think? That's trauma, right? Okay. So that means now that you're passing down trauma to your children, right? Let me just show you another one. And they saw nothing wrong with this. I had another one. Let me see. Hold on. Let me do this one. When I see the pictures and I think about how they had their children there and their children was just like staring up at the bodies, okay? I had another one. I'm going to see if I can get, let me see if I can see. I'm going to see if I can get another one out of the one that was hanging. Show me the picture of the black man hanging on the tree, the burning black man that was hanging on the tree. And that's another one that I see. And this one here, he was being burned alive, okay? And this one, hold on, you guys, I'm sorry. I had it up. This one, they actually burned his body, okay? And they had him burning alive, okay? And nobody saw anything weird about this. Not only was they burning his body, but they also allowed their children to watch, okay? So when you pass down traumas, what happens? What happens when you pass down trauma? A lot of times you don't even understand that you're passing traumas down. But they allow their children to see some very disturbing things, okay? And we have to understand that they saw nothing wrong with looking at a man that was actually burning to death, okay? And what did they do? They sold off his body parts, right? Yeah, they sold off his body parts after he got done burning. Hold on, I was trying to pull up another one. I had the picture and it was, you know how sometimes when you come on live it disappears or whatever. I hope everybody is having a great day today. I'm trying to find this picture. But I had it up there, and it went, but I'm going to try to find it again. But I think it's very sad because this is the history. This is America's history, okay? And this is history that America does not want to talk about, okay? I'm seeing a lot of changes that's going on right now, you guys. And the changing the changings that I'm seeing, I see a lot of white America Mzungu fighting against it, right? But of course they are going to fight against change because they don't want change, right? They don't want things to change. But guess what? When Rosa Parks sat on the front of that bus and didn't move, change was happening, right? She had to go to court and all of this commotion, but change happened, right? I see that now. Change is happening. whether they want it or not. And of course they don't want it. Of course they don't want it. I've seen a part where Vanessa Williams, okay, was singing the black national anthem. And white folk had a fit. Moonroofers had a fit. Why? Because that's different. They said, oh, that's racism. Why is it every time that we do something different, we do anything? Anything we do. They, oh, my God, it's racism. It's almost like they're reversing it. How are you reversing racism? But if anybody knows what racism means that you are a group of people that have power over another group of people that can change that group of people's lives for better or for worse. That's what racism means. So when I hear people say, oh, you're racist, and I'm like, well, you don't know what that word means, huh? And I understand that. But they are fighting for life to keep things the way that they are. But it's changing whether black people know it or not. And we're fighting to keep things the same. We're fighting God's hand. And we don't even understand that we're fighting against ourselves for them. When Vanessa sang the song, the lady said, oh, my God, this is America for all people. And I'm like, wait a minute. We've been singing your racist American flag, Pledge Allegiance. We've been saying that. If we've been singing the national anthem, which is racist. We've been singing that since forever, right? But we've never complained. That's not who we are. Whatever, we'll go along with the program, no matter what. That's who we are. We forgive. But we've been called some very negative, nasty things by them, right? But everything that they do, they never take responsibility for climbing the Capitol. They never take responsibility for anything. But they hold our feet to the fire, but they don't hold their own. Everything we do, oh, you're breaking the law. But then when they break the law and climb the wall or walk the streets with guns, they convict us, right? But they don't convict themselves. Why? Why don't they convict themselves? Because they don't think they've done anything wrong. Because I'm white, I think so. And because it's been like this since forever, and we're not going to change it now because we've been getting away with murder, literally getting away with murder. But guess what? They've been allowed to, and they know that they can. They know that they can. And that's the sad part about it. Because for them, life is good. But I look at them, and I see every time that we do anything, they point their fingers, and they blame us. Anything we do, we can do nothing right for them. That's the sad part about it. This young man here was burned alive. And I see a crowd. I see a crowd around him, right? This was in November 28, 1933. They had 7,000 men, women, and children seized a 19-year-old black man named Lloyd Warren from the jail in St. Joseph, Missouri, hanged him and burned his body in a brutal public spectacle lynching. Did you hear me? They had, the boy was, the young man was 19, and they had white men, women, and children looking at this, okay? Just hours before news spread that a black man had allegedly assaulted a white girl. Mr. Warren was quickly accused of being the perpetrator, arrested, and placed in the jail. As a typical of the era, a mere accusation that a black man had sexually assaulted a white girl arose a violent white mob that gathered outside the jail, armed with ice picks, firearms, and knives. Mr. Warren professed his innocence, and a court-appointed lawyer who remained at the jail with him, but the threat of a lynching grew. Outside the crowd swelled to 1,000 people, and the state governor deployed National Guards allegedly to quell the mob. The governor, okay, sent out National Guard, okay? But you all know what the National Guards do. For at least 3 hours in a standoff with the local law enforcement and national troops, mob members demanded the sheriff turn over Mr. Warren. Neither National Guard nor the law enforcement took actions to defend the jail or dispel the mob, even as the mob members smashed jail windows and attempted to knock down the jail door. Now, with that being said, this is the same National Guard that fights wars, right? But you mean you cannot hold off 1,000 people? You cannot hold off. You can't make them stop. You didn't want to. This young man was 19 years old. Can you imagine if that was your son? Instead, around 11 p.m. that evening, the sheriff announced that the officials would turn Mr. Warren over to the mob. Now, the sheriff. I said the sheriff, okay? Okay? This is mental illness. And we don't even understand that this is not normal behavior. Okay? To show a shooting, a police officer shooting a black young man, to show it over and over and over. It's almost like they're glad, oh, my God, look at this. We got another one. And he's going to get away with it. And they keep showing it over and over and over. But us looking at it, it does more harm to us. It does harm to them, but it does more harm to us. They never showed that 12-year-old, that 14-year-old that got shot, did they? They didn't show the white girl that got shot, did they? No, they didn't. So that evening, the sheriff announced that officials will turn Mr. Warren over to the mob, would cease the attack on the jail, and leave other prisoners unharmed to prevent further property damage to the jail. And that's something he's going to turn. Now, he knew what was going to happen because he was part of the Klan. People have not, you don't understand, the police usually, 9 times out of 10, they were on the KKK. They were involved. They were involved with these people. They knew these people. They were neighbors. They were brothers. They were uncles. They were cousins. So they were on the same team. So just because I have the sheriff's title does not mean that I'm going to protect you. I'm here to protect property. Because back in slavery, the slave patrol protected property, right? And we were considered property. But they didn't protect you. But the sheriff said he wanted to let the man go, Lloyd Doe, that was his name, because he wanted to protect further damage to the jail. The sheriff abandoned his duties to protect Mr. Warren from lynching. Once the mob was permitted to enter the jail, several white men descended upon Mr. Warren, beating, choking, and stabbing him. One member of the mob halted the assault on Mr. Warren, stating that he wished to make this black boy suffer before he died. At this request, the mob dragged Mr. Warren down the street. Now, they came in the building. Now, the sheriff's standing there looking. What's that remind you of today? Same thing happens today. Look at our brother Ozone. Wow. Look at Grandmaster NFAC. They are with Ozone. You're not going to tell me they didn't know who he was. They pulled up at his house. The cop was not even on duty. Wasn't even supposed to be on duty, right? He called in the Charlie 777 for our brother Ozone. Now, we know, you know, and I know that he meant harm. He meant Ozone harm, and Ozone knew that. You going to tell me you didn't know? If I'm hearing you calling a code that I know nothing about, and I guarantee you Ozone knew those codes, so he knew a Charlie 777 wasn't a code, not a code for police. That was a code for something else, but it wasn't a code for police duty. We don't know what the code meant. But we need to check that police officer's background. We need to see if he was fit. Because remember when I did Tamir Rice, that police officer was not even fit for duty. He wasn't even supposed to be on the force and got fired because of that. Not because he shot Tamir Rice, but because he was he lied on his application. Let's check and see this officer's behavior, any disciplinary. Let's see if he has any complaints against him. Let's see if he has any. And if he does have any complaints, let's see what kind of complaint, okay? Because you're not going to tell me, just like Derek Chauvin, he had 18 years worth of complaints. He had complaint after complaint after complaint, but they're not doing anything with these complaints. They're just allowing these officers to continue doing whatever they've been doing because we already know that the police has been infiltrated by the Proud Boys, by the neo-Nazis, by the KKK. We know that. So my thing is,
let's be honest and let's support our brother Ozone, because he needs to. This case is, and for my belief, Ozone was afraid for his life. When that officer called that Charlie 777, Ozone knew right then that his life was either, he was going to either lose his life or he was going to have to fight his way out of it. Or he was going to be beat to death, lose his life, or just be beat. Okay? Or shot. He knew it was going to be danger when his backup came. He knew that because that's what the guy was there for. That's what it all was about. He knew who Ozone was. Let's check the police officer's background. They always use their laws against us, just like they did with NFAC. They wanted to shut him down. They didn't want to shut that brother up because he was teaching. Okay, he was a teacher, plus he was a black man with a gun. Black man with a gun in America, oh, my God, we got to stop this. We got to shut him down. And he had already shut down the Kentucky Derby, remember? And they said, hold on, we're going to make this nigga pay. We're going to make him pay. We're going to make him pay dearly, and we're going to let him pay it. We're going to arrest him, and we're going to allow him to pay. He got federal charges and state charges, right? So guess what? He had to pay for that. So it's almost like he had to pay for the money that they lost. He had to pay it back to them. This is how white folks think. Don't think that they forgot about that derby. Don't think they didn't think about this before they said, we're going to bring charges, bogus charges against him. But let's remember, before that same night, they had already got the white boys that had makeup and stuff on their face, and they saw them with rifles and guns and allowed them to leave and go home. They meant harm, because why would you wear paint and you at a protest, and that was at one of Breonna's protests? Why was they there? Was it the same night that let's think about that. He said he saw some, you know, people in the building. Okay, those people were in a building that the officers found them there and told them to leave, and took their guns and told them to leave. But then they didn't file charges against them. Why was no charges filed when you go and you see a group of white men with paint on their face because you know they mean harm? But they never used their laws for them. They never used their laws against their own. They always used their laws against us, okay? So why were they allowed to leave? And why was no charges? Because that right there was suspicious to me. You said Ozone that day, that night you went to question him. You said he was sitting in his car. It was suspicious. Well, that's suspicious to me. For Ozone to be, for them to, you know, for those guys to be up, you know, in a building with rifles, guns, and with paint on their face, that's suspicious. Why weren't they arrested? Why weren't they questioned? Why backup wasn't called for them like you did for Ozone? You have to understand what's going on, family. We have to understand what's going on. Because it's okay in America for a white man to have a gun. They're used to that. But we got to get them used to black folk having guns now. We got to get them used to us taking care of us. We got to get them used to us having our own defense. We got to get them used to us protecting us. We got to get them used to this because they're not used to it. So it's time to do something else. It's time to create our new reality. I'm just saying. Time for new beginnings. Time for change. And this thing is changing whether they like it or not, and they don't like it. Because everything we do, they have a fit. Maxine Waters said some things. Aaron Booker said some stuff July 4th, right, about black folks not being free, which we're not. Truth is truth. They had a fit about that. They don't want you to say anything. They don't want you to do anything. Just do what as we say. Be still, be quiet, and keep forgiving. Don't worry about what we do. We got this. But you better not try it. You better not do it. Because you do it, you're going to jail. They got the Moors. They was traveling, doing some gun training. They was driving. One car ran out of gas. And they got this story all jacked up. I don't believe for one bit that they were stopped on that. They were stopping on that expressway for harm. I believe the story as far as the car running out of gas, and they saw these officers, and they was like, "Oh my God, we gonna die. We got bullets, we got guns, we got this." But they was going to training. So why is it suspicious? They're going to training. They're driving. They're not doing anything to anybody. They're not hurting anybody. They're going to training. They're not doing anything to hurt anybody. So why were they not allowed to leave? Why were they not just like you allowed the white boys to leave? Why didn't you allow them to leave? And then you got their bail at $100,000. They've not even killed anybody. But then, you know, you got the guy that tried to shoot up the six-year-old, okay, the Asian guy that shot the six-year-old. His bill was $10,000, and he shot somebody. He shot a person. But you got the black lord in jail for a $100,000 bond. Really? I'm just saying. Why? Ozone's still in jail, right? But you got Kyle Rittenhouse that killed two protesters, too. And he's out who God knows where. And he had his trial yet. But Ozone, you're getting ready to put him in, you know, you're getting ready to do his trial now, right? We have to support our brothers, you guys. We have to support our brother, Ozone Wallace. We have to support our brother. We have to support our brother. We have to support our brother. We already know they use the law against us. Justice system sucks. Look at Bill Cosby. They knew he didn't do that. They knew he didn't mess with them hoes. They were hoes. I'm just saying. Those women were whores. And they all knew what they were going up against. They all knew. They had, if you won't tell me that I raped you or I was trying to or whatever I gave you, but you kept tracking me down, you kept, you know, come on. You're not going to keep on, you know, meeting somebody at the house. You're not going to keep calling them. You're not going to keep, you know, everywhere they went, everywhere Bill went, they went, okay? You're not going to do that if this man really meant you harm or really was doing some harm. They knew that, though, but they didn't care because they do what they want to do. And they knew, hey, the appeal is going to take at least 2 years. They knew that. So we got him for at least 2 years. We're going to ruin his character. We're going to ruin his name. We're going to ruin him, period. They have no integrity. They have an integrity issue when it comes to us. They don't care. They do what they want to do. You could literally let white folks climb up a Capitol building and do nothing about it. But then the more who had guns in the car driving, you brought them up on charges because the guys that ran, this is mental illness. It's all part of mental illness. I can't, but you can't. I'm not going to chastise my kids. I'm going to let my kids, my 12-year-old, my 14-year-old, have a shootout with police, and they're good. And the officer said, what made them think that they could have a shootout with police? You gave them that right. When you have children that you don't discipline, they act like wild, grown animals, even in adulthood. If you don't ever train your children and teach them right from wrong, they will grow up to be the same type of people that they were when kids, unruly, undisciplined, and they will do whatever, and they will be off the chain. Some of these white folks off the chain, some of their children off the chain, and they don't teach or train them, they don't discipline them, nothing. But one man told me that we needed to do this, that, and the other to our children. I said, oh, our children aren't shooting up schools. Our children aren't shooting up churches. Our children don't kill 9 people in a church. Our children don't shoot up Walmart. Our children don't shoot up nightclubs. Our children don't shoot up and blow up federal buildings. Remember that one guy that blew up a federal building? This is like maybe 20 years ago. He blew up and killed so many children. Remember him? We don't do that. But theirs do. So you want to tell me again how to raise my children, my child? Everything we've learned from them. Everything we've learned from them. We've been in captivity for 400 years and counting. I'm saying close to 500 years. I'm just saying. And we've never experienced love, never experienced normalcy. We are in survival mode. We are hurt people that have been through so much trauma, and people look at us, they look at us, and they want to call us all kind of names. Where do we get it from? Where do we get it all from? We didn't learn this behavior. We learned it from you. We didn't learn this on our own. We didn't get here by ourselves. You have a whole system set up, systematical racism against us, systematical racism is set up against us. Thank you, honey. So what do we do with that? Thank you. So what do we do with that? But they call us unforgiving. They call us blah, blah, blah. They have so much to say about us. Every time we do or say anything, they go off the chain mad. Off the chain mad. It's so sad.
Nothing's ever fair when it comes to us. But guess what? It's only made us stronger. So who's really got the mental illness here? Who's really got the mental illness? Everybody murdered each other. Everybody killed their own. But it bothers me when people holler, Chicago this and Chicago that. It bothers me because we're no different than anybody else. We're no different than any other culture. But they have you convinced that you're this, that, and the other. You're murderers, you're thugs. Your black president called you thugs. Your black leaders called you thugs. Hillary called you predators. But never once has she called her children predators or thugs or terrorists, because that's what they are. I've seen a whole group of terrorist thugs January 6th climbing a Capitol building. The first person that they tried, what did she tell the judge? She said, I read some books, Schindler's List, for instance, and I watched movies, and I've learned. What did he say? Okay, go free. 5 years, you're on 5 years probation, no jail time. If that had been me or my child, do you think I would have been able to say, hey, Your Honor, I watched the book and I watched the movie. What would he have said? 45 years. We had a young man that killed a dog. He got 45 years. Black young man. He killed a dog. He had 45 years. Because this is what they do. Hold on. I'm going to show you. Mental illness is very prevalent. He shot a police dog in 2016, and he got 45 years. You'd have thought that this dog was a person. You would have thought this man was, you would have thought, hold on, I'm trying to see, hold on, that this dog was a person. I'm so devastated. Who gives anybody 45 years? This is the system. I'm not trying to, but I just want to show you what does that say. What does that say? Black man who shot a police dog in 2015. 45 years. But how many years did Derek Chauvin get? I'm just asking a question for a friend. I think it's disgusting. But you can get 45 years for a dog. What about the woman who, she was 76, and I think she missed her parole, a call-in or something. They sent her back to jail. 76. I'm seeing some very dysfunctional things. But guess what? We won't leave. We will continue to fight a system in a country that hates us. We will fight to stay in a country that hates us. Mental illness. He's not the only one with mental illness, babe. Everything about you was done to you. Asians kill Asians. Jews kill Jews. Germans kill Germans. But they don't. We don't see that on the news, do we? Who do we see on the news? Us. Why do you think that that's all they show on the news? Why do you think? They want to show you as negative as they can.
Who do we see? Who do we see? Children
watching a man be hung. And you don't think they have mental illness. They raping their children. Every white person that I know, most of the ones that I know, I'm talking about the ones that I know, are on medication. Why? I'm just saying, why? Why? I have a guy I work with on 16 different pills. Came to work the other day. And he was acting weird. And I looked and said, so you okay? Well, he goes, well, I'm off of one of my medications. I didn't take it out because I'm taking it at night. And I think I might need to start by taking it during the day. I said, yeah, if I were you, I would take it during the day. I said, he said, can you tell the difference? I said, yeah, I can tell the difference in behavior. That's why I asked if you were okay. I was just asking because he was acting weird. But he takes 16 different medications, mental illness. They'll put this on mental. They'll put this on medication in a minute. But they'll tell us, our children, this, that, and the other. And they always will protect their own. But I always have a reason. Always have a reason, don't they? Of why it's okay to do what they do to us. And I'm praying that they won't be able to really pin this on ozone. I hope the system, and it's going to be hard, but it can be done. It can be done. I'm looking at these, you know, how many times how many lynchings even now that our men go through, and they call them suicide. Do we really believe that it was suicide? We had a lady, Tequila, this Tequila person, right? Her Asian girl. She came on here and she tried to dog black women out. You can't validate me. I don't let them validate me. I don't care what they say about me. When I know what I know about them and I know who they are and I know whose children that they are and I know you don't have a revelation of the word, she called us women of Zion. That's who we are, black women. We are women of Zion. She was telling you who you were, but she had it all wrong. Because everything that came out of her mouth about us, she's talking about them. I have him. So nothing she said about me being bald, what she said, what black women are bald and crusty. Really? I have him. I have a lot of it, too. It would be longer than this if I really crust it up. I'm just saying. I'm not bald. We're not crusty. I don't know who she was talking about. I know women that have alopecia. I'm just saying. 3106. Y'all called her a washpot. She put her mouth on God's chosen. But he called her, she was a Moabite. Moabite. That's who the Asians are, Moabites. Called her a washpot. I think it's Psalms 106. Read it. Moabite. Wash pot. She had her nerves to put her mouth on greatness. Some things think they're nothing, and nothing call themselves something. We have to understand that they are going through mental illness now. Everything that they do, they're holding on for dear life right now. They are holding on for dear life.
They say whatever they want. They want to tear us down so bad, and they can't. Not unless you let them. Can't tear me down. I see this LGBT. I see the mixing and the mingling. I see the prison injustice. What are we up against? Who are we up against? Who thinks? Let me ask you a question. Who burns a man alive? What type of characteristic is that? How could you? I couldn't dare burn somebody alive. But I was reading, they actually pulled that man from his jail cell, and they did all kind of crazy stuff to him. I read it. They did all kind of crazy stuff to him before they killed him. They wanted him to go through excruciating pain. And one man, they burned him alive, then they cut him up. They were bidding for his piece of body part. You know, they're cannibals. They eat raw meat. Look it up. Pull up some YouTube channels. Well, cannibals. Eating raw meat. You can pull it up. Who does that? What characteristic is that? Who are we dealing with? Everything that they're trying to make us do, like the LGBT, mixing and mingling, they're teaching our children, these clowns are dressing up LGBT men, dressing up like women with beards, full beards, going and reading to our children in the library. And if you're a parent, a black parent, I don't care what them white folks do, and you are taking your children to a library to allow a full-grown bearded man looking like a woman with his makeup on, dressed up in a woman's dress, if you're taking your child to see the dysfunction, shame on you. Welcome, welcome. Shame on you. Like and share. We're talking about mental illness, the Mazumba's mental illness. And some parents who have children that have mental illness because it passed down from generation to generation. And I do believe that. Their children are walking around with mental illness now. We have to understand what's really going on here. We have to understand. We have to know that we've gone through a lot. But it's going to be up to us to bring us out of this. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. But we have to know that enough is enough. We have to get tired. Tequila said, Tequila, I guess that's her name. She said a whole lot of nasty stuff about black people. But it doesn't matter because she has no revelation. She's reading the Bible with all that hate in her heart against us. You think God's pleased with that? Do you think he's pleased with that? Called him her husband. I'm just saying. And what really bothers me is when I see the black face white supremacy who's wanting the Muslim's love so bad that he will go against his own. Where he will go against his own for them. And I've seen it in full effect. And I just shake my head because it's sad. You will go against your own to protect. And that's what we've done. When I saw Bill Cosby and I saw many black people were against him, Michael Lamont, Hill, and some other people, and I saw Joe Brown and what he said, Michael Lamont to Hill didn't like that. He had to get Joe Brown off of there real quick. And he said, let me find somebody that's going to agree with me. Michael Lamont Hill was just dysfunctional. He's one of them black white supremacists who don't like his own. And we can tell. You don't ever go against your own for them. Because you think that they like you because you're going against your own. They can't stand Candy. You see how they talked about her baby, Candy Thorne? You see how they talked about her baby when she had the baby? They talked about that baby badly. Because she thought they was her friends. She thinks that they like her. She thinks that she's fitting in. But guess what? When they get done with their toys, what happens? They break them, right? Watch how they break her down. Just like Omarosa, the same way Trump did her when he got done with her. They're going to do the king. You're talking about people that don't even like their own, themselves. And you think they're going to like you. They hate you. They hate because you're black. They hate when you wake up. They hate because of who we are. They hate you and don't even know why they hate you. But we hate us because they hate us. We hate us because they hate us. Ain't that something? We want the Mazumbas so bad to love us, to pay us some attention, that we will go against our own for them. And so I'm almost like, hey, I went against my own. I'm going against my own. I'm saying bad things about my own for you. And we do it on purpose. Why? Why? Mental illness. So I see mental illness on both sides. They have built a whole system, systematical racism. We've gone through hell. Jim Crow era, which is horrible. I mean, now we're going through the prison industrial. Okay. You're getting years for doing crazy stuff. A lot of nonviolent anything. But they want to lock up everybody. Y'all black my hands up so bad. They either want to make you LGBT, they want to give you to white women, or they put you in prison. Those are just three. And you know why they're doing that? So that we don't reproduce, because they know that they can't reproduce. They know y'all is not allowing them to be able to reproduce nothing. They're having a rough time reproducing, and they want to stop you from reproducing. But we have to be smart, and we have to turn this ship around. We have to know what they're doing. We have to stop allowing them to educate our babies. We can't be progressive if we can't think for ourselves. We cannot change our world and create our new reality if we can't think for ourselves. You think they're going to help you to be free? Why would they? Why would the cat tell the mouse what to do to be free? The cat is hoping that the mouse never gets free because he's going to eat him up. And they're hoping that we don't get it. They're hoping we don't come together. They're hoping that we don't band together. They're hoping that we never support each other. They're hoping that we never protect each other. They're hoping that we continue talking about we don't need our man. They're hoping. Takeda talks a lot of noise. Ladies, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to still continue to support them? And that's what we do. People talk trash about us, and we go and we turn around and we support them. We support them no matter what. But you won't give your sister and brother the same pass that you give white supremacy. You'll hold us to a higher, each other to a higher standard. You'll come to our restaurant or not, but if one thing is out of place, I'm not coming back. And you'll get on the internet, on Facebook, and talk about it and tell everybody about it. But then yet, when you go to Starbucks or other Walmart or whatever, and they treat you bad and the bathrooms are nasty, you keep coming back. They could put you out, and you'll keep coming back. One lady got put out of a store, prominent store, and they asked you to go back. She said, oh, probably. I want to answer that question about probably was going to go back. I said, I would just ask that question alone. And he looked at her like, are you crazy? You going to go back and give us more of your money when they put you out? Welcome. We have to understand mental illness and what does it all mean for us? How does it look? Because we have gone through so much hell. And these Mazungas, come on, you guys. They're the ones that are mental ill. But everything about them, they blame us. They say it about us. But we all know who's really at fault. We all know who's really dysfunctional. Who sleeps with their children? With their dad? Who sleeps with their mom? Who's a cannibal? Who eats people? Who hangs people up, burn them alive, and then turn around and sell off their body parts? Who does that? I'm just saying. we have to recognize what's going on here, and we have to start doing things about it. We can't just allow to keep seeing stuff going on and not say and do anything about it. The last guest we had said she thought that we've come a long way as far as going through what we've gone through, to play back that the part one. Going through the hill that we've gone through and going through the hill that our men still go through daily with dealing with them. You can't beat what we've gone through. We can go through anything. We've come out on top, and they're looking at us and going, how are they doing that? How did they do that? How are they coming out alive? How are they coming out like that? How are they coming out alive? How are they coming out as motivated as we are? How are they doing this? How are we coming out still smiling? How are we coming out still loving? How are we coming out living to see another day? How are we doing that? They can't hurt us. We have power in numbers. There's nothing we cannot do. There's nothing we can't do. We have to do for us. We have to get our minds right. It's time for us to be free. It's time for us to build our new reality. It's time for us to get ready. I'm just saying. We've been going through this for a long time. And some of us have not worn it. It's not worn it. It's getting away for a little bit for a peace of mind. That's how I look at it. I don't look at it as running. I don't look at it as running. I look at it as me going to get some peace. I don't want to grow my, I don't want my grandchildren or my granddaughter to grow up and have a son. And he has to go through abuse by other cultures on a job, being fired or being harassed because they don't act like them. We don't act like them. We're not supposed to act like them. We're black. They're not. We were raised different. But they want you, even on these jobs, they want to harass you. They want to retrain you to act like them. No, we don't act like them. We act like who we were created to be. We act like who we're created to be. We don't have to act like them. We don't have to think like them. But we do need to come together. We do need to learn how to love each other. And this is why I say no mixing and mingling right now. We have to learn how to love us first before we can love on somebody else, before we can come together with other people. We have to learn how to love us. I do appreciate everybody that tuned in during the show and that's going to tune in after the show, that's going to tune in during the week. I appreciate each and every one of you. But it's time for us to deal with our mental illness. I do have part one. I want you to check that out. But we do deal with mental illness. But they deal with mental illness too. So when they say, ooh, he killed 9 people in the church, that's mental illness. It is. They weren't lying. But we have mental illness also. We are so angry with them that we turn our anger on each other. Internalized racism. That's what it is. Look it up. We're so angry right now. They give us all these symbols. They know how to do this, but you have to understand whose children they are. Once we understand whose children they are, then you'll understand how they get up in here. You'll understand how do they do what they do, how they think like they think. Who else thinks the way they think? I couldn't do half of what they do. I don't even want to. I'm just saying, they sleep with their dogs, sleep with their children, sleep with their mama, sleep with their dad. I don't want to live like that. And they think nothing's wrong with it. That's why you see so many gay, their children. Not just their children. These grown children that grew up to be grown men, these priests. Mental illness. Truth and bestiality. Mental illness. And they're okay with it. That's what they do. Remember, back in the day, I did a report on Romans, okay, and how the men used to have sex with each other. They only use their women to make babies, to reproduce, recreate, okay, reproduce. That's what they use their women for. But when they were in war, they slept with each other. Look at that. They slept with each other. So where's the LGBT coming from them? Everything that they are, we've got to come from among, learn out their ways, be separate. We didn't do that. You have to understand. 1963, we came up under them. We had our own neighborhood. We didn't have our own defense. We had our own everything else. We didn't have our own defense. And what happened? 1963, we came. We want to come to your schools. We want to come to your churches. We want to come to your this. We want to come to your that. We integrated with them. That was the worst thing ever. Because now, they said, okay, come on. And then they created a system for us to fail. A system. Because they already told us, if your kids come to our schools, they can't do this with our children. They can't think. They can't. They had a whole list of stuff that they could, what our children couldn't do with theirs. So why would you? Why? That's mental illness for us. Why would we say okay? Why would we say okay to go to their schools, to eat at their restaurant? Your enemies are cooking you food. Why was that okay? And you were eating it. They were giving you a drink, and you drank it? Really? That's mental illness. But what did they do? They spat on you. They called you names. Even a five-year-old baby. I remember the five-year-old baby. Remember her? Remember Ruby? I'm gonna look at. Let's look at. Let's look at Ruby. Ruby, you're just. Do you remember that picture? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Can you imagine what that little baby went through? She needed security. She needed security. Why? Ruby Bridges. That five-year-old needed security. Because they didn't want her in school with them, with her, with their children. And from what I saw, they treated that. They was yelling and screaming at this five-year-old baby. And they was calling her name. Who does that? That's mental illness. You go on these jobs every day, and they taunt you, and they calling you niggas, and they taunt you. And these teachers at the educating your babies, and they not feeding them. And they make them stick their hands in feces, mental illness. They harass you on your job. They tell you, they try to give you an evaluation. And they'll evaluate you. And you're working, you come to work every day. But they're trying to make you, change you into them. Tell you can't wear your braids. My hair is curly. Tell you can't wear your braids. Want to change you into them. I wore my hair curling, right? And then I wore it one time I had a wig on. And they said, well, I like your hair better. Why? Because it's straight. I took that wig off and I started wearing my hair just like this because I don't want you to like nothing. I don't need your approval. I never wore that wig back to that place again because I didn't want her to think, oh, wow, she listened. Oh, I'm listening to you because I don't care what you think about my hair. I'm going to wear my curls. They love these curls, honey. They pay money for this. They pay money. It's called funds for them. When we straighten our hair, because we want our hair like theirs, it's called a relaxer. But they pay money for this. You see all these curls? You see that? They pay money for that baby, hundreds of dollars. And we got it for free. They want what we got, and we want what they got. Mental illness. You know how they treat their dog so much better than they treat you? Mental illness. You know how they go to your business, their business. You go to their businesses and they treat you like crap. But then we sit down and eat their food and eat some of everything that they're putting in your food because you allow them to at these different restaurants, even to that. Mental illness on our part.
integration was the worst thing for us. I just want us to get to the point where we are dealing with our mental illness. If they want to stay crazy, let them stay crazy. That's up to them. But we need to deal with our mental illness. We need to deal with our stuff. We pass down mental illness from generation to generation. Read the Willie Lynch. You had a whole man that came in, and he said, I'm going to teach you something that will stay for the next 300 years in the black community. Willie Lynch, you need to read it. Look it up. It's terrible. But who thinks like that? Who thinks like that? That's mental illness. They had a whole man that they brought in to teach and train slaves. They brought this man in. Making of slaves, that's what they call it. It's called the making of slaves. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What we allowed. It was called, I'm going to read it just a little bit if I can find it. The Making of a Slave. I'm just saying. It says, gentlemen, now this is the following introduction to a speech said to have been delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch is said to have been a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods of owners to enslaved Africans. Okay? This is, I just want to read a little bit. Gentlemen, I greet you here on the bank of James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colonial, for the bringing you here. I am here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experience with of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented. As our boat sailed south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose vision of the Bible we cherish, didn't know that king was black. I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used coats of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along the highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. You are not only losing valuable stock by hanging, you are having uprisings. Slaves are running away. Your crops are sometimes left in the field too long for maximum profit. You suffer occasional fires. Your animals are killed, gentlemen. You know what your problems are. I do not need to elaborate. I am here to enumerate your problems. I am here to introduce you to the method of solving them. In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for this 300 years. Did you hear that? It works for the next 300 years, and it's still working. The method is simple. Any member of your family, of your overseer, can use it. Have it outlined a number of differences among slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. Did you hear me? I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. Mental illness. This is what we're dealing with now. These methods have worked on my modest plantation, okay, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On top of my list is age, but if it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantation. That is the plantation, the attitudes of owners, where the slaves live in the valley, on the hill, east, north, coarse hair, and is still or short, tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves are, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pick the old black mules versus the young black mules, and the young black mules against the old black mules. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned, and the light-skinned versus the slaves versus the dark-skinned. You must use the females against the males and the males against females. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all blacks. But it is necessary that your slaves treat, trust, and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust us only. Gentlemen, these kits are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen. Did you hear that? For a whole year, they did it. Everybody did it. They were on code. They were on code, and it worked. He said it was going to work for the next 300 years, and this was in 1719. It's what, 2021, and it's still working. So that was over. 400 years it's been working. So we know it. So what are we going to do about it? How do we unbrainwash it? For one, coming from among, be separate and learn not their ways. Stop allowing them to teach your children. We need to tear that one willing inch apart, and we need to reverse it. We need to start sticking together. We need to start admiring each other again, black man, black woman. Mental illnesses. It's deep, and it's running rampant, and it's out of control. We think we crazy. We think we dysfunctional. We think everything negative about us, so that's all they've ever told. So we don't even like being black no more. We don't even like the skin that we're in. We don't even like our hair. We like nothing about us because we've listened to them, and we've allowed them to teach our babies. And you think they're not still using that Willie Lynch? You really think they're not still using Willie Lynch? And now we think just like we've been passing it down, black against black, light skin against dark skin, tall or short against male against female, vice versa. We've been using that thing. We've been distrusting each other, jealous of each other, envy, jealous. Did it not work? Did it not work, brother? Did it not work? Did it not work? Did it not work? I'm just saying. They must only trust us. Didn't they say that? Didn't they say that? They must love, respect, and trust only us. And they've done a really good job putting us against each other. I'm just saying. What are we going to do about it? We know it's there. So what do we do about it? It's been working for 300 years. So we can't say, they can't say Willie Lynch doesn't work. It does. It's a part of mental illness. A whole man came up with this and put it in practice, and they were on code with it. But you don't think we can break it? Here we can. We're the only ones that can break it. Because they'll tell you it's not happening. But we see it's happening. Right?
Because we only trust them. And we deal with these black faith white supremacists. We deal with them. We don't get everybody. But the ones that want to come in the fold, want to be free, come on, let's deal with our mental illness. We can't do nothing with the white folks. They're going to be them. But we can heal us up. We can do what we need to do, come together and love on us. It's not about them. It's about us. Are we going to continue walking in this madness, or are we going to do better? We can continue walking in it for the next 300 or 400 years. But I want more than that for my family. I want more than that for myself. I want more. I want more. But it's totally up to you. Our kids do something immediately. They bring it up their past, bring it up this, that, and the other. George, Derek Chauvin did. His rap sheet was long as my arm and didn't bring up any of his past, any of those criminal complaints, didn't bring up anything from his past, did they? But if it was the other way around, George Floyd, they tried to put him on trial. We have to break that down. We have to block that. We have to stop that. Ozone, we need to protect our brother. We need to protect him like never before. It's our job. We are our brother's keepers. Those more brothers, we need to protect them. We should have been out there marching with them to see, make sure they're fine. But I know the Moors are going to be fine. I know they have an attorney, and they're going to be fine, okay? But a lot of this is the changing of the God, okay? A new century, the changing of the God, changing of the God. That's what this is. I see change. It's happening right in our face. The white people don't know what to do. They don't know what to do about it. And we see it, and we're fighting against it. We're fighting against it. But guess what? We can't even stop this from happening because Yahshua's doing it. He's doing it for us. We can't stop it. We trying, but we can't. We can't stop this. But I didn't want to be on here long. I came in and I'm trying. Hopefully I'll be back next Tuesday. And we're going to continue talking about some things. But we need to get prepared to do what we need to do. We need to get prepared to do what we need to do. Mental illness part 2. What can we do about it? We are the only ones that can do anything about what we're going through. We're the only ones that can stop what we're going through. We have to change us. We can't wait on them to do it for us. You think they are? You think they're going to do it for us? No, they're not. They're hoping you don't get it. They're hoping you stay under their control as long as you want to. Because it's going to be a fight when we try to wake up. We're waking up now. And you see, it's already a fight. But guess what? We can do this together. We can't do it by ourselves. We can do it together. We can handle this. But I want us to come together and do this together because we can't do it without each other. We can't do this by ourselves. Ain't no system even trying. We already know what we already know the harm. We already know what they're trying to do. Right? We already know. We can fight against it. Or we can stay sitting here and waiting for them to free us. Or keep begging Master to love us, to care. I'm tired of begging Master to do anything. He doesn't need to do it. This day forth, not another. Give me my reparation and let me live my life. Let me get up out of here. That's what I do know. That's what I do know.
Family, I didn't want to stay on for long. I just wanted to kind of throw some stuff at you. Stuff to think about. That young lady that came and talked last week, she said some pretty interesting things. We're thinking we got the problem. They got you convinced it is you.
They got you convinced it is you that everything we learn from them. They're doing it. And we turn around trying to walk in these footsteps, and they're looking at us like, ooh, I'm telling you. We got it from you. Who are you telling? Who are you telling? Check yourself. Because everything that we doing, we got from them. Instead of now, it's time for us to learn from us. It's time for us to do that. But it's going to take us putting in work. It's going to take time. It's going to take us waking up and walking in the fullness that Yahshua has for us and not accepting anything less but his best. So, no, we can't take these hurts to Africa with us. We can't take the hurts with us. We don't want to take the hurts with us because hurt people hurt people. We don't need to go down there hurting our brothers and sisters. Because we have brothers and sisters down there. We have Shem and Ham, which we're part of Shem. We have to come together and cover one another. It's mandatory. But with that said, family, I'm not going to be on here. I hope I said something to spark your thinking cap, to spark your thinking, to spark your thoughts. We got a lot of crazy stuff going on. They're teaching our children how to masturbate. That's how dysfunctional they are. That's how dysfunctional. Who teaches a child how to do this? Why? Why? Why is it so important to teach our children this? But we know this. And what do we do? Have you opened up your own school? Have you pulled your children out of your school? Have you tried to do anything different? Have you tried to be free? Have you been thinking of a plan to be free? What are we doing? We're going to just wait and see. You talk about leaving. They say, well, we're not going to run. We can't run. It's our country. We built this country. Okay, if you built this country, that means you can do it again. We built Wall Street, Black Wall Street. We can do it again, right? We built Black Wall Street. We built America. It can be done again. We can build it back. That's where we're going. That's what we're trying to do, but we can do it by ourselves. So we're going to need you. We're going to need us to come together to help us. We have to come together to help us. Nobody's going to help us to get out of where we are. We have to start recognizing the mental illness. Stop dealing with it. They can invest in your business, but they can't run it. They can invest in your properties, but they can't own them. They can't have no say in them. If they want to invest in your projects, give me the money. You stand aside. I'll give you what's yours back, but you can't live here. You can't join it. You can't run it. I'm just saying. Because they want to run everything. And we do. We allow them to. Thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in. Even after I'm gone, the ones that's going to check out the show after I'm gone, thank you. Like and share, like and share, like and share. Hit that share button here, hit that like button. Hit the bell so that you'll know when I'm coming on again. Hit that bell. I do appreciate each and every one of you that came on. I appreciate you. And let's come back next Tuesday. I may be on the other channel next Tuesday because I'm going to try to come back and forth. Okay? Next Tuesday, 11:30. We're going to be on the other channel, the Digital Cheek channel. That's it. It has been an amazing day. Rest of your day. And let's think about what we did. Let's think about how we're going to deal with the willingness. It's time for our minds to be free. Time for us to create our own new reality. But that's it. Peace, family. And I will see you next Tuesday. Blog Talk. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that I've said something to kind of get you a little motivated here. I hope I've said something for us to start thinking about what it is that we need to do to be free, because it's going to take more than us. It's going to take us being honest with us. It's going to take us wanting to be free.
So let's make this happen. Let's do what we need to do. Let's do our homework. And we will be back here next Tuesday. I want you to like and share. I want you to share, like. And come on back next Tuesday at 11:30. Peace, family.